Done. So this is part two. I felt that I needed to preach about how we actually apply this to our life. Amen. So on the Thursday night, of the Passover, Jesus sat down with his disciples, and they had what we would call communion on the Lord's Supper together. This is Mark 14. If you don't mind putting it up there, that would be great. While they were eating, let's just read it together. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. And just the next part. Later that night, they went into the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus prayed, like I shared last Sunday. Blood came out of his forehead. He was anxious and distressed because he knew what was coming. And then he prayed this prayer. "Abba, Father," he said. Let's read it together. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but you will be done." The cup, my friends, was a cup of suffering. It was a cup, the blood, his blood, that was shed on Calvary. So, how many knows that in the Bible, it teaches that only when innocent blood is shed can forgiveness be done? How many has heard that before? He knew what was coming. It wasn't just physical torment, but it was also spiritual torment, because he took the sins of the world. In fact, the Bible says he became the Lamb of God, slain for the sins of the world. In fact, Paul calls him the Passover Lamb in 1 Corinthians. But my friends, I have a question for you. Who killed Jesus? Who killed him? I know it seemed like this was God's plan. In fact, it says in the Bible that he laid down his life on his own account. But who killed him? Yes, it was the high priest who sentenced him to death. Yes, it was the soldiers of the temple who pulled out his beard and mocked him and crowned him with thorns. Yes, it was the Roman soldiers who took the nails and hammered into his hands. Yes, it was the Roman soldiers who took a whip. And on the end of that whip, there was a whole bunch of leather tongues. And on those, there was bones so that his bodies could be stripped to pieces. 39 lashes. Not 40, because 40 would kill him. They mutilated him. So he was unrecognizable. Who did that? Well, yes, it was the Roman soldier who did that. When Jesus hung on the cross and they mocked him and scorned him, who was the mockers and scorners? It was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious people who stood there and mocked him and said, "If you truly are the Son of God, come down from that cross." But you see, on that cross, when he hung there and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When he hung there and said that, Satan was gloating. I got him good. I just used the greatest weapon I had, and that is death itself. How did Satan get involved? By the ones who put the nails in his hands. They were motivated by the enemy. The ones who scorned him, who brutalized him, they were motivated by the enemy. That hatred, that incredible, vile evil was motivated by guess who? By the enemy. But before I get too comfortable, let me tell you something. I was at that cross too. You see, I was an atheist. I had turned against Jesus. And I was the one who stood and mocked him. And I was the one who put the crown of thorns on him. Now, not literally, because it happened thousands of years before my time, but in spiritually, I was the one who did that. And my friends, it was a Roman soldier who took the nails and hammered in his feet and in his hands. But it was also me who did that, because it was my sins who nailed him to that cross. And I have to say this, my friends, it was also yours. But then came Sunday. And Sunday morning, he rose from the dead. And I don't know how it exactly looked like, but I can just see Satan running, says, "That's not fair, that's not fair." And I can see him pulling out his hair and saying, "No way, no way." And I can just see Jesus says, "I told you." Because it's already prophesied in the Old Testament that he was going to rise from the dead. And he went to his disciples and all the Thomas and all the unbelieving people in the world. And he said, "Look, I'm risen. My scars are in the hands, in my feet, in my side. I am the one who was died on the cross. I am risen. I am alive. And I'm here forever to be with you." Amen. Jesus overcame the grave. He overcame the tomb. He overcame the guards. He overcame all the wiles that was put against him. But how do I apply this? On that cross, that cup was filled with his blood. How does that apply to me and to you? Are you with me? You want to know how? Two people do. I want to know how. And actually, when I prepared the sermon, I remembered a sermon I listened to 25 years ago. Or 20, I can't remember. By a guy called Derek Prince. And it just impacted me back then. And so some of the things I'm sharing with you now, I got from him. In Revelation 12, verse 11, it says this. "They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb." Can you say that with me? "They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives as to shrink from their death." How did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. What was the testimony about? What the blood of Jesus has done for you. Amen? So how do I overcome him? By confessing, because testimony is the same thing as confessing what Jesus had done for me, what his blood has done for me. Are you with me? So, in the Old Testament, in Exodus, I shared that last Sunday about the Passover, remember? In Exodus 12, there's the wrath of God is upon Egypt, and it comes to the 10th plague. The 10th plague is killing the firstborn. How many heard that before? And so, God says to Moses, "Moses, go and tell the Hebrews to take a lamb." How many remembers that the Hebrews' firstborns were also killed by Pharaoh 80 years before? So here he says to the Hebrews, "Take a lamb, kill it. Take the blood in the basin and take a plant called a hyssop plant. Put it in the blood and put it on the doorpost and the doorsill. And when the destroyer comes, he'll pass over." That's why the Jews celebrate Passover. That is what we celebrate as Easter. Are you with me? So my question last Sunday was, how do I apply the hyssop to my life? The hyssop is just a weed, insignificant little plant. But nonetheless, how many knows that if you didn't apply it and put the blood on the doorpost and the doorsill, the angel of death will not pass over? How many knows that this is not up for discussion? That was the one thing they had to do. And then number two, they had to stay inside the house. there is a protection inside that blood covering. But when you step outside, there is no protection. And so project that. Now be with me, okay? Somebody said, oh, this Old Testament. But it foreshadows of what's coming in the New Testament. And so Jesus is now that lamb that's slaughtered. And it's his blood that was shed. So the question is, what is the hyssop? And my friends, the hyssop is your tongue. They're very insignificant little thing in here. That is your tongue. And it's your tongue that takes the blood of Jesus and applies it to your life. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, "But I tell you that everyone will have a given account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your what? I'm not saying this. This is in the Bible. By your words, you will be acquitted. And by your words, you will be condemned." What is he saying? He's saying, be careful in how you speak the words. There's power. In Proverbs, says there's power in the words of life and death. In James, it says that your tongue is like a little rudder of a big ship. How many have seen those tankers, those oil tankers? And there's a little rudder, or a few of them in the back there, that steers the whole thing. So when you use your tongue, it's like that rudder. And so when I say stuff like this, I say, you know, I'm stupid. That rudder steers the ship into the harbor called Stupid Harbor. Isn't that true? But what the Lord is saying to us, why are you declaring things that God is not saying? Why don't you come in agreement with what he says and declare it? Say it. Because when you say it, you will come to the kingdom of darkness. Amen? So let's practice. Because some of you can say with their hands, what does he say? What does he say about the blood? And I know as a new believer, if somebody preached a sermon to me the way I do today, I said, what on earth is all this blood about? And if that's you, just hang in there, okay? Just hang in there. How many know that sometimes God does not fit our little box, does not fit our understanding, and we sometimes got to get stretched a bit to be able to have a kingdom mindset? And so I'm comfortable with it today, but I wouldn't have been comfortable with it the day I got saved, okay? So if just hang with me. Are you okay? So I wanted you to declare this with me. So in the scriptures, I want to talk about that Jesus redeems us through his blood. And it comes out of Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood. No. Let's say it together. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And let's go to the next one, Colossians, I think it is. Let's do one more. Hallelujah. 1 Peter. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, and Lamb without blemish or defect. So how are you redeemed? By the blood. Colossians 1, it says, for we were rescued. Colossians chapter 1, you were rescued. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Do you have Romans 3 on there? Let's just read it together. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. So again, it is the atonement, the blood atonement, that redeems you. So this is my prayer. I know I'm redeemed from the hand of the evil one. I was an atheist, and I saw myself as a good person. And it wasn't that I was a bad person. But you see, I served not God. I served the schemes of the enemy, even though I never recognized it. But today, I'm totally free from that. So this is what I pray. And I want you to pray it with me, but just let's pray it. Let's just pray it together. Let me pray it first, and then I want you to pray it with me, if you want to. Through the blood of Jesus, I am forgiven, and I'm redeemed out of the kingdom of darkness and out of the power of the devil. If you want to pray that with me, how many would like to pray that with me? Is that okay? Through the blood of Jesus, I am forgiven, and I'm redeemed out of the kingdom of darkness and set free from the power of the devil. Now I'm gonna challenge you a little more. Would you turn to your neighbor next to you and say the same thing? Amen. Thank you, guys. Are you ready for the next one? Let's do one, couple more. And the next one is cleansing. The blood of Jesus cleanses you. In 1 John 1:7, it says, let's read it together. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So he's saying, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, what happens when you walk in the light? You have fellowship. When you walk in the light, my friends, there's love between you. And what happens to the blood? It continuously cleanses you. Amen. But the condition is you need to walk in the light. But if you step out of the light, then he promised you that if you confess your sins, he's more than willing to forgive you and cleanse you and make you whole. Isn't that awesome? Praise Jesus. Thank you, Emo. That gets me going. I like the hallelujahs. Psalm 51:7. David has killed, David has raped, David has deceived, and now he's repenting, and this is what he asks. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. The blood of Jesus washes you white as snow. How that happens, I'll explain in a few minutes, hopefully. But there is a cleansing that takes place. When you come to Jesus, he takes your sins and removes them as far as the east is from the west. And he restores you to the innocence of a child. How many is ready to be restored to an innocence of a child? So this is the prayer. While I walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses me continually, now and forever from all sin. Let's go with that one. Let's read it. Let's do it together. While I walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses me continually from all sin. Thank you, Jesus. Do you believe that? So, the next one I have And you can feel you can do this yourself. There's all kinds of verses to do with the blood. I just picked some of them. The next one, there is life in the blood. So John 6:53. Jesus is speaking to the people who are with him, a whole probably hundreds of people. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and let's do it together. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them." Wow, this is weird, Jesus. I tell you one thing. The people who heard this thought it was weird. And they all left except for the disciples. Okay? But then Jesus explains it a little later. I mean, it's glad that Jesus sometimes explains it to us. Because otherwise, we've gone cannibals. And he says, in a little later, he says, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they're full of Spirit and they are life." Okay? So the way I partake in the blood, the way I partake in his flesh. Remember he says, "This is my body given for you, and this is the new covenant in my blood." The way I partake in that is not by eating him, but it's by taking his word. It's by taking his word. And I'm not talking about just general words. I'm talking about the word for you. How many knows you're saved by the blood of Jesus? When you take that truth, you are truly saved. It's not good enough to say, well, he died for the sins of all the world. No, you need to say, he died for the sins, for my sins. When you apply death, you are indeed set free. Amen? So then let us, how many have read the scriptures and you feel life coming? There is, somehow you partake in the divine nature when you do it. How many believes that? So let me pray another one. Lord Jesus, I have received your blood sacrifice by faith, and thereby now participate in your life. You're in me, and I'm in you. Are you ready? If you want to, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I have received your blood sacrifice by faith, and thereby I now participate in your life. You're in me, and I am in you. Now, hands, that is amazing. How does that work? This is how it works. When you come to Jesus and you surrender, remember Jesus in the garden, he says, "Not my will, but your will be done." Remember that? When you surrender your life to him, "Not my will, but your will be done." How many have heard that before? Another word for that is repentance. When you repent and your will becomes his will, then the Holy Spirit comes in you. And that's the Spirit of Christ. And it comes in you because you actually believe that Jesus paid the price for your sins. And he comes in you. And what is he? He's holy. He is love, joy, peace, patience. Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, comes and lives in you. How many think that's amazing? So next time, just turn to your belly button and say, "Jesus, I want to talk to you." No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You got a picture? Are ready for one more? I think I did one more. The next one is justification. Just as if I have never sinned. And in Romans 5:9, it says, "Since we are now being justified by his blood, Let's do it again. Since we now have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For it is why we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? You've been justified, just as if you're never sinned. How many things this is pretty exciting, that Jesus has actually wiped out the past? And he's brought you into his kingdom. How many things it's nice that you don't have to deal with the guilt and the shame of the past? Some says louder hallelujah than others. Isn't it amazing that God gives us a new start? And it's by his blood that sin is wiped up and you're justified and you're being made righteous. Let's read one more scripture. Isaiah 61:10. I delight greatly in the Lord, my soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me in the robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. The justification, you're justified just as if you have never sinned. But when he does that, he also clothes you with his what? Righteousness. Not your own works, but his works. It is yours. How many likes to be looking like a bride? I mean, maybe you men don't want to, but you women. How many likes that beautiful, pure, white gown that brides wear when they get married? At least they used to. He takes the shame and he takes the guilt. By his blood, you're being set free and you're clothed with his righteousness. Amen? Are you ready for a prayer? Through the blood of Jesus, I'm justified, acquitted, not guilty, made righteous, just as if I had never sinned. My friends, there is no other religion in the world where the God came down and died for you, that your guilt is no longer going to torment you. Amen? There is no other religion in the world that has a God who comes and dies on the cross for you. So let's read it together. Through the blood of Jesus, I am justified, acquitted, not guilty, made righteous, just as if I had never sinned. Woo! Hallelujah. How many is glad that the sin doesn't follow you for the rest of your life? It's wiped out. Jesus doesn't see the sin anymore. He sees you. As his son and his daughter, purchased by his blood, you're not his own. You're not your own. You are his because you've been bought at the highest price, the innocent blood of Jesus Christ. Amen says amen to that. Amen. Okay, I'm always good for a story. So I'm going to tell you a little story. And the story is of Leanna. And it's shared in a book called The Treasures in Dark Places by Leanna. And I cannot really not pronounce her last name. But she grew up in the States. And in the States, she lived with her parents. Her father was a bit of an eccentric. He loved to make airplanes, homemade flying airplanes. I don't know how you do that, but he did. Half of his house was a shop, and the other half, that's where they lived. And his daughter became a teenager and was rebellious against mom and dad, rebellious against authority. The mom had started to go with some of her friends to church, and they took the daughter to church, and she was one of those that comes with spitballs into the classroom. Okay, one of those tormenting little kids that Sunday school kids, teachers were rather that they stayed home. So that's how she lived until a couple of things happened, and I'll just share one thing. One night she was in her bedroom, and in her bedroom she felt there was somebody else there. And she got scared. She's thinking, who sneaked into my bedroom? And so she started looking intently in the dark. And suddenly, she saw him. She saw Jesus, suffering Jesus. She saw him with a matted hair with blood. She saw him with swollen eyes. She saw him with wounds in his hands. She saw him with a blooded gown. She saw him as he was crucified. And she realized for 1 second that it was nobody else in the whole wide world but her. Jesus did that for her. And my friends, you need to know that if there's nobody else in the whole wide world but you, Jesus did that for you. How many says amen to that? Then Jesus touched her because she was crying. All the rebellion was just sort of evaporating out of her. And she was crying. And Jesus put his hand on her and said, "Do not cry, little one." He goes on to say, "I have broken the power of darkness. The citizens can be set free forever." And she felt the love of God flood her soul. How many believe that changed her life forever? And Leanna went to Bible school, felt a call to go to one of the darkest places in the world, in northern India, where there is 35 million orphans, children. Many are sold into the sex trade. They're in the hands of the warlords, and they serve about 300 million different gods. She went in there, and just give you one little story. Remember Jesus says, "I came." What did he say to her? "I've broken the power of darkness. The citizens can be set free forever." She went in there and played her guitar in the poorest of poorest. A little girl, 20 years old, 25 years old, from the States. Had learned the language a little bit, enough to sing some songs. Caitlin, where are you, Caitlin? She sings. Caitlin plays her guitar. I can just see Caitlin doing that. Going into the north. And the kids were coming, flocking. And she had little things that was written in gospel tracts. And she would hand them out. And they were coming, just flocking around her. And she was just singing her songs. And she said, "I didn't really come to influence people. I came to make a statement of the kingdom of Jesus. The kingdom of Jesus was here." And so she was singing these songs. And then suddenly one day, after a few days of doing this, nobody came. So you could see them in the distance. They were peeking out behind doors. And she thought, well, that's strange. So then suddenly she saw this person coming out of a hut. And he had ashes on him. It's like ashes from when you burn people. And he was made up. He was a warlord. And everybody around knew that was going to be a standoff. And so this warlord came up to intimidate her. And of course, she didn't know what to do. But then she began to sing, "There is power, power in the blood." Where are the singers? There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blessed blood of the Lamb. And the guy came right up to her, and he turned around, and he ran. And all the people came out. Now they really wanted those tracks. There is power in the blood to save, to redeem, to cleanse, to justify, to set you free. Amen? So to make it in accordance with what God wants us to do, Let's take communion together. Amen. And I pray that you will have a greater faith as you take it. How many knows that it also says in the Bible, by his stripes you are healed? Amen. So can I ask the elders to come? Let's hand it out and...